Praise you. We acknowledge you, Father. Father, we come before you today. We ask, Father, take these earthly vessels. Cleanse us in your precious blood, Father. Fill us to overflowing, Father, that we might know you, that we might hear what you want to reveal to us in the house here today. Father, that the revelation that I've received this week, Father, I ask that it would go out and touch each and every person in this place this morning, Father, and that we would know you even more intimately, Father, that we would know you, that we would go out and declare to the nations that Jesus Christ is Lord. We give you praise, Father. Amen. You may be seated. How good it is to be in church. Amen and amen and amen. Is Sandra, thank you. Amazing word, but that is what is going to happen. We are in an end time. The church age is coming to an end. The church of Christ will go out and be proclaimed all throughout the world. But you know what's most exciting is that this church in Australia, and when I say that, this church and all of those others that gather together and proclaim the name of Jesus will be at the forefront of that. We will be. It's been declared over this nation already. All right? Ferdinand de Quiro in 16, whatever he was, declared it, the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Smith Wigglesworth, 1922, declares that the last great outpouring of the Holy Spirit would come from Australia and New Zealand. Guess what? We are those people. How exciting is that? And do you know what the most exciting part is? Is that this church is going to be at the forefront of that. Because this church has done one thing that a lot of others aren't doing, and that is being obedient to the Word of God. Do you know, Julie spoke the other week about one of the workers, and she sent him a text and said, it's not just good enough to be a good person, that there is more to it. Well, you know, it's just not good enough to know Jesus, but it is that we have to be obedient to him and his word. And over these last few nights, days, whatever it might be, weeks, it seems like forever since from when Jill's asked and to get to today. I always fast before this period of time. Not necessarily in food, because you notice my bones are a bit close to the outside. But I do fast from the media and the television and the things that might try and get in to invade, you know, what God wants to reveal. And I would encourage you that, you know, not necessarily do we need to fast from food, but fasting is in so many other areas. And I encourage you that the world is not giving you a true and fair picture of what it is about. Okay? Is Chrissy, thank you for being diligent. All right? Is that this is the most amazing period of time, but we are called to be obedient. And so we're just going to look at this now. My beautiful Mel, she gave me a title page because technology and things like that don't really, you know, run in me. I said to Rosie, would you mind if we got the word thing out and made this up? And she looked at me and sort of goes, oh, no, probably not. So we did it Steve's way, okay? We put it on a sheet of paper with a thing. So that's what my title page looks like. That's the scriptures we'll be working out of today. Excitingly, Mel is going to give us the title up there now. Firstly, why did Jesus have to die? And then there's a little bit underneath, and it says, the answer is in the question. So it's a play on words here, but I want you to hang on to that for a sec. And then she's just going to expand and show us the scriptures that this has come from. Now, I won't necessarily go to every scripture and read it, but I want you to know that that's where it comes out of. The one that I am going to read from is, I think everyone probably knows it, but if you would got your Bibles in your hands, let's go to Genesis. I'm going to begin at the beginning and we'll finish at the end, and that'll be wherever it is. The history of creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do I need to say more? Great message straight up. But the thing is, who has had a query on that? Who's had a check at some point in their lives to go, is that really the truth? Right? It's easy to do. Okay, because what happens is that the reason Jesus had to die, and let's flick into the next part here in Genesis 3. We'll have a quick look here. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and he said to woman, this is the question, has God indeed, right from the beginning, there was a doubt sown. All right? And doubt is continued to be sown today. So the questions that are coming to us today will create one of two things. They'll either help us to grow in our faith, or they will create doubt that will rob us of our faith. Both of those two things can what happen from the questions that will come to us. Now let's go a little further. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent goes on, another question or a statement at this point, but creating doubt. You will not surely die. And then he goes on. But I want you to go now a little bit further down. And we're going to go to 9. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? What I want you to see here is that God had given them a command. He'd asked them to be obedient to one thing. Do not eat of that tree. All right? This is the beginning of the mess that we're all in. A question, a doubt, a concern raised. All right? Not to add to us, but to take away from us. And at this point now is that Adam could have fixed the mess by accepting fault and saying, forgive me, Lord, I have been disobedient to what you asked me to do, and please restore to me those things. It's the same for us today. When the questions arise, the doubts arise in our minds, and we turn away and we get caught up in things. At that point, we can turn back to God and repent and turn away from what we've been doing, or we can stay down the track of disobedience. Now, I wonder in our lives, would we find ourselves like Adam when things start to happen and try and shift the blame? Because this is what he did. He blamed poor old Eve for the thing and says, it's her fault, you know? Not my fault, it's her fault. All right? But if we have a look there, let's have a look why now we're concerned in this mess, all right, from what happened of disobedience at the beginning. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So that includes all of us in this room. We have been tainted with a corruptible seed from the beginning. So if we start to look, why did Jesus now have to die? Well, then it comes from the question. It comes from the question that the devil asked of Eve. Did God really say that? And I want to put that up here today is that I fully believe that this church is a faithful and obedient church. All right? I'm not here to tell you today, you know, that you need to do this. All right? What I'm showing you is that around us, there's going to be all of these things that will cause concern, cause people to be drawn away. There'll be fears and doubts, all because of a question. All right? How many people today say, oh, but does God still? Does God? Does God? In the prayer room this morning, I had the girls and Gordon, wherever, there he is, pray for me. Had an amazing touch from the Holy Spirit. I thought I'd do the right thing, walk straight over to Jill's and pass that blessing on. And I fully believed that her knee would be healed. I fully believed it. All right? That it didn't happen right there and then. Right? The impediment doesn't lie with God. All right? That's the truth. Now, as we go on, I wonder about this as we check ourselves and have a look at things. But the deception came in, disobedience. All right? Today, how are we with our obedience to the Word of God? Yeah, Jesus says you must be born again of the Spirit of God. How are we in that step? Did we accept it? All right? See, what happens to a lot of us is the questions come, and rather than take every thought captive and then bring it into line with the Word of God, what we do is we allow that to start getting in our minds. We start to question. We start to doubt what the Word of God says. And that actually, you know, drags at your faith. You start to be finding yourself thinking, yeah, but look, if that bit's wrong, what about this bit? What about that bit over there? And is that, I want to just look at the next part of my thing there. I'm just sort of trying to work through this a little bit quickly because, as I say, this is not the main thrust. This is just so that we look at ourselves and where we are in the scheme of things. Now, as we have questions and doubts and things arise in our own minds, what should we do? What should we do? Now, understanding that if we look now into Romans, okay, is that I just want to keep adding to my things here, but Romans 5 and 17, for if by one man's offence death reigns through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offence judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. How good is that good news? That's this church, obedient, made righteous by the blood of Christ. Okay, but there's still many sinners. Okay, I've got my cheer group up the back. It's lovely, right? But just as it mentioned, there is many sinners still out there. The body of Christ too. All right. So let's have a look now and click over into. I'm just going to go a little further in that one. No, it's not on that one. It's good. So Romans 5 and 17, that's the one we just did, sorry. Let's turn over into Hebrews. Now, what do we do when the questions arise? Okay, because we'll all be faced with this. We'll all have periods of time where you will have a question. The question will start to tick around in your head. And you will then think, what am I going to do with this question? Then we're going to do what the Word tells us to do, and we're going to bring it captive and put it into line with the Word of God. And now it says, Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, at this point, we don't see it, we don't understand it, we don't comprehend it. I'd suggest that most of us are like the rest of us in that we have no comprehension of God. We have no understanding of his love for each and every one of us. That we have no understanding of his power and authority and the things that he will do around us. All right? But if we will have faith in what he says of himself and believe and be obedient to that, that's what we do with the question. We recognise that we don't necessarily have the answer to the question right now, but the answer lies with God. In faith now, we hold on to the fact that the answer is in the Word. And as we continue to move with God, he will reveal to us and help us to understand exactly what he wants to do for us in our lives. But we need to remain obedient to the Word of God, because let's have a look. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. All right? So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He framed it. He put it all together. I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think we comprehend how big, how good, how amazing, how awesome God is? So why would we put ourselves in a position by asking a question, would God? How could we even know? We have no idea of the immensity of God, and yet we would lean on our own understanding before we would lean on the understanding of the Word of God. I encourage you, take hold of the Word. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which were seen were not made of things which are visible. And then I'm just going to turn over the page, and we can see here the next part to this. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So again, now we're asked to believe that God is who he says he is. What an awesome responsibility to be placed on us. All right? But God has faith in us to believe his word and to accept that what he has spoken to us, just like he did back at the beginning, he gave a choice to Adam and Eve, all right? He gave Adam the right to either be obedient or disobedient. We are in that place today. We can choose to be obedient or disobedient. It's your choice. Choose life. Choose blessing and cursing. Which one? Okay? Comes back again to the obedience of where we're at. Now, just so that we might recognise where we're at. As you leave Bateman's Bay and you're coming towards Maria, you come up to the work area at, you know, the top of town. Okay? As you leave the traffic lights, it used to be 70 kilometres an hour, it's now 60, and it runs up round right through the top. Let me ask you this question. You're one of three cars. You're the third car back. Okay? Three cars go up around the hill like that. They go up to the, you know, the roadworks area, 60 kilometres an hour. But the first two cars in front of you zoom away, and you know they're doing more than 60 kilometres an hour, all right? And you're doing your best, you're doing your level best, right, to only do 60 k's. But you actually get to the top, and because you've been dragged up the hill by those ones that are going fast past you, out in front, you've actually got to be at 65 by the time you got to the thing. But there's the highway patrol car, and he says, park over there for a sec. And he says, do you realise that you're exceeding the speed limit? So what's the first thing that most people will do? But what about those two that went ahead of me? What about them? Why didn't you get them? It's not my fault. They went too fast and I. Is, or do you feel really bad and go, oh, yes. All right. All right. It's really amazing because most of the people I've asked would feel really ripped off that they were the ones that got booked. Right? But you see, that's what's happening to the church today. We're getting drawn into sin. We're getting drawn into wrong thinking. We're getting dragged along and we're getting questions thrown at us. And we think that it's all right to justify our position. But it's not. I tell you today, it's not. Okay? Because for this church now to go and be what's been proclaimed over this church, all right, we need people that the question, all right, will develop your faith, not erode it. It needs to be brought captive. It needs to be lined up with the Word of God. It needs to be put in place. And then when we don't understand something, we open the Word and say, there's the Word. By faith, I will do what it proclaims to me. Sandra said last week, once we're born again of the Spirit of God, we no longer have the right to question, but to do. And I totally agree 100%. First thing to recognise that God's Word and he is truth is first thing to come to terms with. Get that sorted. Get it done, okay? You don't have to question it. You don't have to go out and work it out. We don't have to put it against something else, measure it at this or that. Is we're asked just to come to obedience, to accept that. So what's the first thing Jesus says to us? He says, well, first thing is you need to be born again. We need to be born again of the corruptible seed that was placed in us through our lineage from the beginning, from the first question that caused the problems and the first disobedience that arose. We need to be born again and have a new incorruptible seed put in us. The Holy Spirit, Jesus promises that as he is lifted up, as I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. All right? Isn't that exciting? All right? So as faithful, obedient people, for us to firstly be born again, be filled with the Holy Spirit, to lift Jesus up, that all men might be drawn unto him through the lifting up of Jesus Christ. That's why I'm excited about this church, because there's faithful, obedient people already doing that on a regular basis. All right, and we're seeing the fruits of that come to pass. We're seeing it starting to flow. All right, into this. We're going to see it in this nation, all right, as it begins to start to grow, is that we know the darkness is developing around us, all right? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to go out and see that it's not good, all right? But excitingly, there is good to come out of that, all right? Just as through one man's disobedience, through one man's obedience, then also we have the answer to that. Now, I'm going to put this to us that, like Jesus, Jesus going to the cross, he comes to a point of time and he says, Father, I really don't know really whether I want to do this. All right? I bet most of us face challenges in our lives, periods of time where we hold the Word in front of us and go, Father, I really don't want to do this. But I put it to you today that just like Jesus was obedient even as unto death at the cross, so our role is to be obedient to the Word of God. In doing that, we see the rewards of that starting to come. Let's have a look at where this church, through just being obedient by the people who come and sow their tithes in this house, we touch, I don't know how many billions of people in China, Southeast Asia, all of those areas. What was it that Josie says, you know, that it took, where she talks about this chunk of people being, you know, this massive chunk of people in this middle little bit of the world. And this church is part of that, going out through obedience and faithfulness. It's an amazing thing, what we do. That's just there in Southeast Asia through Josie. What about in the Middle East, into Jerusalem and with the Parker family. Do you know that, you know, by being faithful and lifting up the Jewish nation, is that that is so important to be, because Jesus says, "He who lifts them up, all right, and honors them, I will honor, all right." But he said, "Who curses them, I also will take them out." This church is diligently faithful in sending tithes into Israel and to lift them up. We have our beautiful Loris and a family that have been faithful and diligent for years, you know, with Bridges of Hope, Peace, you know, praying over them and being involved with it. Do you know we had 800 horsemen in 1917, you know, gallop across the desert, all right, to liberate Palestine and to open up so that the nation of Israel might be created. I mean, how exciting is Australia has all of these, you know, places put before us that we will lead into the revival and the return of Jesus Christ. Obedient people, all right? I want to, you know, again, you know, how good is it where Jesus says, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." As we continue to follow him, as we're obedient to his word, he will rise up in us his spirit to draw all men unto himself. He even promises us, don't worry about what you're going to say. He says, because I will give you the words. He said, when you go and you're being obedient to what I ask of you, I will give you the words. Right? How many of us, you know, think, oh, I can't go and do that because I won't know what to say. Don't worry about it. The word says that Jesus will give us the words to speak. As we start to see the church, you know, start to grow and to, you know, people flood in, as they get looking around out there and going, there's no answer out here. The answer lies in here. Again, we could feel a little bit overwhelmed, a bit off put because I don't know the answer. Guess what? Here's the answer. It's here. All we have to do is be obedient to it. We don't have to do any more. We just have a hold of this and we take it and we put it out there, declaring the word. And when we find ourselves thinking too highly of ourselves, all right, can that happen? How often do we get to thinking highly of ourselves, all right? Do we do as Adam did and try and justify himself? And no, it wasn't my fault, it was hers, you know. How often do we get to that point, all right? I just encourage you, is the old adage, give yourselves a check up from the neck up, all right? Let's see how we're going along. Is I don't want to tell you that you're doing this or this wrong. I want us that we might go out and have a look for ourselves, hold up the yardstick of Christ and compare ourselves to it. No good comparing yourself to your next door neighbour. All right? We're a fallen generation. We've got nothing going for us except Jesus Christ in us. All right? And I really encourage you in that is, don't be like Adam. Don't try and justify yourselves. Repent. Turn away from the sin. Go back to what the word asks us. God, forgive us. All right? We can turn from our sin or we can condone it. We can have from the question. We can have obedience to the word, even if we don't comprehend it all just right now. But we can accept by faith that it is true and right. Now, obey his word. Australia, the chosen nation. Ferdinand de Queiroz. Smith's Wigglesworth. The last great move of the Holy Spirit as we come. As we approach the end of the church age, it might be scary. All right? It may be. But I would put this to you today. As a child of the Most High God, you don't need to be scared. You don't need to be fearful. You don't need to worry. There is none of that, according to my word, this one here, that you have to worry about. Let's have just a quick look. There's a proverb up there that I've got in the list. And it's Proverbs 8 and 32. Now listen, blessed are those who keep my ways. What are we? Blessed. All right, sure, some things might come against us, but we're blessed. Let's have a look. Psalm 37 and 8. Do not fret, it only causes harm. Psalm 37, 8. Proverbs. That's my poor writing. Proverbs 37. No, it can't be Proverbs. Well, anyway, Psalm 37, 8 it is, yep. But it says, do not fret, it only causes harm. So if we're looking for that one. Okay, so do not fret, it only causes harm. Okay, so what do? We've got these questions, bring them into line. Track hold of them. Don't let them continue, all right? Because imagination's a dangerous thing, all right? Bring it back to the Word of God. When you doubt the Word of God or questions have been raised about it, take it in faith that God is true, His Word is true, and as we grow with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will find in time that what we were worried about didn't need our doubt, just our faith and obedience. Now, as we obey the Word of God, then we come to a point of serving others. I just encourage you that wherever you're at today is that these past few years have created all sorts of angst, all sorts of problems, both mental health, physical health, all sorts of things. Just from looking at it from my point of view, the single biggest thing that is creating problems is our inability to go and serve others. Right? We've been isolated. We've been told not to go, not to be involved. Is I only have to look at my wife, who's been compartmentalised completely in a totally wrong place, created all sorts of angst and problems. Right? I imagine it's pretty much the same for most other people that are born again of the Spirit of God, because that's what the Spirit wants to do. It wants to go out and serve and be involved with others. But when we're isolated and told we can't do that, okay, so I encourage you, if you're going through some stuff, all right, just let it go now. Yeah. Do not fret. It only causes worry and things like that. Do what the Word says. Hand it over to Him. He promises us that He will look after us and look after it. If you're a husband, let's be the best husbands we can be. I encourage you as husbands. You know, one of the worst things that I see happen from a husband's point of view is that what we do is we go out and we get involved in all of these things. We give the best out there, then we go home and our poor old wife gets what's left over. She gets the crankiness. I've had a hard day. Oh, sorry, I can't talk right now. No, well, it's probably not even sorry I can't talk. It's don't want to talk about it. I hear the chuckles come, all right? But here we are. The Word of God says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church in that He gave His life for her. All right? Men, are you laying down your life? Are you laying down your concern where you walk in the door and it's all about you because you had a bad day and you got the cranks and she's going to get it? Is she going to get the sulky bit or she's going to get the cranky bit or she's going to get that bit? Men, grow up. Get out of it. All right? It's not your place. It's not what you're supposed to be doing. Men, we're called, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. It's not self-seeking. You'll find this in the Word. Okay? You'll find it in there. If you start to have a look around for it, it's there. All right? Hold yourself up against the yardstick, men, and let's have a look at how we're going with it. Joe, I notice you're chuckling there a little bit, because it's all right. It's all right, Joe. I hope you don't mind me picking you out, but I'm going to pick on Joe for a little bit, because when I see men come and actively participate and become involved in the Word and doing what it says, I love watching the growth. I'm going to just pick on Joe a little bit. It's about, I don't know, 12, 18 months ago, you know, when we started bringing men's group together. Joe came in one day and he's a bit late. And he bowls in and he says, "Sorry, I'm late." He said, "Just had to sort of follow out on the road." He said, "You know, he was going slow and he was going fast and then he and I had to get." Is that true, Joe? It's true. Do you know, Joe is in a different place today. Joe is not late for men's group anymore because he's not trying to sort them out on the road. He's sorted it out between him and God, all right? Because when we become what God asks of us, the other problems aren't a problem anymore, all right? It's a different thing, okay? But we're all faced with this choice on a regular basis. What are we going to do with the question, all right? Are we going to do what Adam did and justify where we fall short, or are we going to repent, turn back, and come back before God? I just want to lift you up again, Joe, is that these last 12, 18 months have been just amazing watching the growth in you and just this new humility that's coming in your life. It's been a privilege to watch. And I don't know whether that's due to Chrissy or what's going on, but all right, so I've talked to the blokes. Ah, girls. How are you going to top that, eh? Sugar and spice and all things nice. Oh, no, that's not in the Word of God. I just encourage you, girls, is that your husband mightn't be all the things that he promised you that he was going to be from the beginning. I know when I was courting my wife, I told her all sorts of things. Follow me, hun. This is going to be, it's pretty good. You know, she believed me. She followed me and came with me. But the thing is, girls, is that your husband is who he is. All right? He can never use the argument, "This is just who God created me as," because he is no longer the person that he was before Christ came into his life. He is now a new creation. And we can't hold on to our old selves. We can't keep dragging them along with us. All right? Old things, 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things have passed away, all things have become new. And that's our place now. I encourage you to be patient with your husbands. Is that fruit of the Spirit, and I was going to tell a little joke about, you know, I was going to talk to you today about the 8 fruits of the Spirit. And then Sandra would say, "No, there's 9 fruits." And I'd go, "Yes, there is, but I don't like the last one. I want to leave it out." But how true is that of us, right, is that, you know, we read something in the Word of God and then we go, "Yeah, but I don't like that. I'm going to leave that bit out." All right? I encourage that the Word is complete. All right? It is complete. It has everything in control. It's going to take us from here to eternity. It will not just take us from here to eternity going, "Whew, managed to get into heaven." Okay? It's going to take us into heaven with the blessings that God has promised us. All right? It's going to take us in, all right, with so much more, with the crown of glory, with the crown, because we're going to go from this place being obedient to the Word, and we're going to go out and we're going to speak to people. We're going to take the gospel out to the world, all right? Whether we do it physically or whether we're doing it in our obedience through who we are and by coming and being planted and faithful and obedient to the Word, that will go out, that will touch. People won't understand. They have no idea. But we will go into heaven with a soul winner's crown. All right, there is so many crowns that we can lay up. And it comes back to the, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? If it's here on earth, guess what? You're going to be robbed. You're going to be deceived. You're going to be filled, ripped off. I've just, in this week, I read a book, The Millionaire Castaway, I think it's called. But anyway, a bloke who steps out of business world and goes and lives on a deserted island. Now, he hasn't got life sorted, I can tell you, all right? But he thought, if I go and I live on this beautiful island with all of this, life will be just how I want it. How many of us spending life running away from the things we don't like instead of stepping into the promises that God has for us? All right, and the world will continue to do that. It will keep putting something up in front of you saying, when you get that next boat, when you get that next car, when you get, you'll be satisfied, you'll be right, you'll have it all. It doesn't come. Let me tell you right now, let me save you some time, some effort, some heartache and some worry, okay? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He says, he promises us that does not a sparrow out there get its own food? Yeah, it's fed all the time. It's looked after, all right? Isn't it, you know, the fields and the grass and arrayed much greater than Solomon? Yes, he knows we need all of these things. He's got that part sorted. Serve and obey God and his word so that as Jesus showed us by example how we should live, we might also be an example. I just want to read two psalms, if we can. Psalm 33. These are the blessings that now these coming, notice Sandra, all out of the New King James. Okay, all right. All for Sandra, that was. Psalm 33, the sovereignty of the Lord in creation and history. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. So that's us, we're the upright, okay? We are the righteous through the blood of Christ. That's why he had to die, so that his blood would create a place for us to come back to God by the victory there. Now, praise the Lord with a harp, make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And here's the thing. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. That's each of us and the world around us were created by God. Can I even comprehend that? I have no idea. So I have to accept by faith that that's the truth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. So what's happening in the world today, he will bring to nothing. The counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. Plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. That's us. We're his chosen inheritance. He's picked us out, brought us into his place. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. So the thing today is that all of us will have different ways of looking at things. The questions will arise, but I encourage you, take the question, bring it into line with the word of God. All right? He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. So we're all doing things that he's considering, and we're all doing things differently. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. I want you to just dwell on that just for a little sec, is that we think that, and the people when Jesus came thought he would lead an army, all right, to defeat the Romans, and that was all going to be fixed up in that. It's not by an army, all right? Jesus came because he loves you, all right? And it's by love, and it's kindness and gentleness, faithfulness, all of these things, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and long-suffering. But then it concludes with a beautiful bit of scripture, and it says, against which there is no law. If we're operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, all right, then there is no law against any of that. We will not need an army, all right? A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. I just encourage you to dwell on that. But let's have a look now, the next Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. So what will we do? We'll bless the Lord at all times. When fear and doubt arise, what will we do? We'll bless the Lord at all times. All right? I encourage you that if you're struggling with stuff today, in all things, give praise and thanksgiving. All right? It's there in the words, black and white. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So what happened here? All our fears. Who delivered us? The Lord did. And when we sought him, when we go to him, all right, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. That's me. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all these troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Let's have a look at who's doing the opposite. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Who's that? That's us, the faithful, the obedient. All right? We're not going to lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. All right, that's the question. Don't let the question bring deceit. Don't let the question take you from faith. All right. Where was I? Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. So we can cry out to the Lord. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off from the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. Cry out to the Lord, and he hears, and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite heart. And what he's saying there, it's not a broken heart in the sense of you're shattered, that you, but it's recognizing that who and what you were didn't put you in line with God. There is a way where you now put aside your pride, your goodness, all right, and put it into his hands. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, all right? I didn't tell you we weren't going to have a few challenges along the way, all right? But have a look here. What's the next bit, all right? The Lord says, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. And I leave that with you today, is that I encourage you that the Psalms are an amazing place to find answers for a restless heart, for your questions, for the fears and doubts that might arise in there. Because the Psalms are at all different stages of a king's problems. They were the good times, they were the bad times. They were the times where he sought the God, where he turned away from God. Our lives can be encompassed in those 150-odd psalms there, all of our lives. But I encourage you that if you don't ever open the Word, you won't know. Gordon, you mentioned something a little while back when I was speaking about Smith Wigglesworth, and that you actually slept in the bed that Smith Wigglesworth slept in Forbes, is that right? Or Parks? How cool, eh? You see, these are people that God has used mightily. They're not some figment of our imagination. They're not, you know, it's truth, and the Word of God is sharper and alive. You know, it's doing its thing. All right, I really encourage you today, is that already, as I've spoken, I believe this church is an obedient church. It's faithful in doing, you know, what God has asked us to do. But as we continue on now over these next years, whatever it might be, all right, is that if things don't come to pass right in front of you, don't let the question create doubt. Just accept that we probably don't understand at this point of time, and God will continue to reveal that which he has for us. As we finish up, Lord, we just want to thank you, Father. We want to thank you for your word in this house, Lord. We want to thank you that it is true, that every word that's in this book, Father, comes from you. And you cannot lie, Father. I give you glory, Father, as I stand here today and, Father, confess that I don't necessarily understand it all. But, Lord, I'm willing and open to open my heart that you might reveal to me and to each one of us in this place those things that you wish for us to know at this point, and for that in faith we will believe for those things yet unseen that will come to pass further in our lives, Lord. And Father, I just thank you. I speak a blessing over those people, men, women and children in this place who are obedient to your word, Father, just as you were obedient to the cross, Jesus, and set the example before us. Then, Father, let each one of us in this place be obedient to your word. And we give you all praise and glory, Jesus, in your name. Amen. We will...